Everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Because you know the next part of that movie, if you've seen it, you don't want to see it here. We'll show it at men's retreats, but not on Sunday morning. I mean, can you imagine being in Higgins' boat and your head is down and you hear the engine go boom, and you know, like, the next moments you're in battle. I show you that because there is an invasion going on. There is a dramatic collision of kingdoms happening. The kingdom of God is invading the kingdom of darkness. And your mission is to bring that collision. Your mission is to bring the collision of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness wherever you go. You already bring your world wherever you go. You bring your internal world wherever you go. Whatever's going on in here, whatever you let go on in here, you bring it with you wherever you go. So step one is live in the kingdom of God. Here, and then bring it. Bring it wherever you go. Good morning, I'm Randy. Welcome to Adventure Church. I'm one of the leaders here. If you're new, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for choosing Adventure this morning. We have been taught, God has been giving Adventure a vision and a mission for what He wants us to do as a group of believers in Jesus Christ. And that is born out of a passage in Ezekiel 37 that He laid on my heart back in October. Lord, what's the future of Adventure? Ezekiel 37, read it. And so we read it. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, You alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and prophesy to the breath. Verse 9, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. God is raising an army to invade the kingdom of darkness and bring the kingdom of God. That's our mission. And the Holy Spirit, the picture of the breath coming in, the breath of God coming in is a picture of the Holy Spirit entering into somebody's body, into their soul, and empowering them with the authority of God to bring the kingdom. It's an energizing force, the Holy Spirit. And last week, Jeff Hansen beautifully shared a picture of what that looks like. If you remember the video at the beginning, if you happened to be here last week, he showed a clip from Black Beauty, and this little boy's on the... I've never seen the movie. But this little boy's on the beach, and this horse, this huge, strong horse, running around the boy, and the boy looks a little nervous at first, and he sort of starts playing with the horse, and then eventually... He's on the horse, and then eventually the horse is running, and he's hanging on to the mane, and then he's just like arms up, like, woohoo! You know, and the horse is trucking down the beach. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, right? We play around with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that comes and lives in us when we give our lives to Christ. But letting the Holy Spirit run everything is a different story. We play around with the Holy Spirit, but how do we move from playing around with the Holy Spirit to riding at a dead run, arms up? And what Jeff shared last week about that is you got to step out. You got to step out and live a desperate life. What do we mean by that? He was talking about God fills and empowers with the Spirit when we live desperately dependent on God showing up versus a safe life that I can control where I really don't need God to come through for me, because I never step out into something unless I can pull it off as a sure thing without God on my own. And Jeff was talking about stepping out versus living a safe life. Stepping out equals desperation. When I step out into desperation, God, I'm out on this limb, I without the power to do anything, but I'm stepping out here. Come, Lord, move. I'm desperate for you. Then God comes. Then God empowers. Then God fills. And he told the story, if you were here, about he and Star. He felt like they were supposed to go pray for a little girl who had died to raise from the dead. I mean, that's out on a limb. And then they told the mother, we're going to pray for her to be raised from the dead. And like I said, now they're out on the edge of the twig of the limb. You know what I mean? And they're way out here, and they prayed, and it's just being out on that limb. It's then out on those limbs that God will fill you with the Spirit. It's there that God says, he looks at us and he says, now I have a servant who trusts me enough to step out for me. I will empower him. Now I have a servant who's trusts me enough to step out. Now I'll empower him. And what I love about that story is she didn't raise from the dead. She didn't. And Jeff and Star did not draw the conclusion that most Christians who step out draw. I'll never do that again. God doesn't show up. I get out on the limb and he saws off the branch. Right? They didn't draw all those wicked conclusions from Satan. They instead went, we don't know. But just a little bit later, a man who's got the shakes, who's also on the edge of dying, 70 years old, they go pray for him. He's miraculously healed. And then they baptize him in the bathtub. And if you know Jeff and Star's story, it's story after story of stepping out and God showing up. God will let you. Would you be willing to step out and just prove to God, I'm willing to step out and trust you, even if it doesn't turn into something that in my head I think you should have done? Would you be willing to follow him into that? That's the kind of thing. Jeff Colt put it this way. On Friday night, we had an awesome prayer and worship night here. Oh, man, God showed up. And Jeff afterwards, and it was Jeff Colt's idea. He was like, we need to pray and worship. And so he's kind of, but God has to come, and we're going to sing these songs, but if God doesn't come, it's not going to be good. And so I remember seeing the tension in him, and afterwards he was standing right here, and we were talking, and he's like, you know, God's not going to pass me the ball if I don't get in the game. If I want the ball, I got to get in the game. Then he can pass it. And it's the same idea that Jeff was talking about last week's What a Wonderful Picture. There is a safer life that you can arrange, people. Where you really, you rarely experience desperation. You know, but it's not worth living. And I think if you choose that safer life, you're going to get to the end of your life and be disappointed and sorry. You will wish you had chosen a different life. You will wish you had lived a life on the edge for God at the end of your life. And you know I'm right. You know I'm right. And last week when Jeff was talking about this, I was thinking, how have I gotten in the game and was desperate for God? And the first thing that came to my mind was men's ministry mentoring. I agreed to be a mentor for men's ministry, so we did training, and I got some training and helped facilitate some of the training. But still, I'm meeting with, you know, my first mentee, working through some material, and I'm terrified he's gonna. I'm like, oh, tell me about yourself. Tell me about what's going on in your heart, you know. And I'm terrified he's gonna quit talking, and I'm gonna have to say something. You know, I'm like, I'm there going, you know, and I'm in desperation, and I remember just, Lord, and just so you know, as a pastor now, meeting with people all the time, it's the same. I'm like terrified they're going to stop talking, and I'm going to have to say something smart. And I'm in desperation. I'm like, Lord, you know, tell me what's going, you know, listen for me, Lord. I don't get what's wrong with this person or whatever's going on, you know, which you, you know, or what they need or what, you know, where to go. And the Lord's like, you know, usually in the very last milliseconds between them stopping speaking and then me gonna say something, ask a question, the Holy Spirit. It's weird. It's not just out on a limb. Sometimes it's like, even here, he's not yet going to fill you. It's like when you spring that he fills you. And I love it. I mean, that's how you'd do it if you were God. If you were in charge, you would do it just like that. Because you want people who are going to jump in, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Another one. What I say was funny. What? I didn't think that. Of course you would. did I make an assumption? Okay, so I'm out in right field. Okay, playing softball. We did a softball team at the bar, Twin Dragon Bar, and I'm out in right field, and I don't know any of these people. And me and a couple guys from church here started the softball team and with Redmond City Park Softball, and we're out there, and I'm in right field because that's where I always end up in softball, and I'm like, you know, John's over here and he's a guy I've met at the bar, and I'm like, how I want to bring up a relationship with Christ, this guy, I want to get to know him, I want to try to get to, you know, be a light for Jesus, and how am I going to do that? And I just remember the day, the practice that I was gonna say something, you know, and I think I came up with something super lame, like, hey, so have you ever gone to church in your life, you know? But I'm there, right, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, in desperation, I'm gonna open my mouth, and this is probably gonna end the all potential friendship here, you know. But I go ahead and did it. And what's interesting is, they didn't know I was a pastor. I hid the fact that I was a pastor with the whole church or a whole softball thing in the bar. And whenever anybody asked me what I did, I'd lie, and I'd say something like, "Well, I work with couples and marriage stuff, and I do some counseling." You know, which is somewhat true. But anyway. I've ended up, they found out I was a pastor, I've ended up doing like three of their weddings, getting to do premarital counseling with them, walking them through what it looks like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've gotten to share the gospel at three weddings with people who are going to get stoned after the wedding. You know, it's like, it's different. You know, Christian weddings and secular weddings are different. And so but the empowering came with the stepping out. You know what I mean? The empowering comes when we step out. If you want the filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, if you want the ball passed to you, you got to get in the game. And so this week I asked the Lord, I was praying, I was like, Lord, how does this work? You know, how does all this work? And I just journaled some stuff I felt like the Lord was saying to me. I'll share it with you, and you can decide whether you think this is from the Lord or my brain. But I feel like the Lord was saying, Randy, you are my regents. I will move through you stepping out, through your faith, through your prayer. When I said, what you bind on earth, Jesus in Matthew 16, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Lord said to me, when I told you that, I was speaking about your position as regents of mine. I will move through you. Faith is stepping out, like Jeff Hansen was saying last week, to the place where if I don't arrive, nothing will happen. And then he said this, Randy, the thing that's in the way is your fear. And I said, Lord, what do I fear? And then immediately it was like, here it is, you know. I'm afraid, and I wrote it down, I'm afraid to pray for boldness, for miracles, for healing, for my neighbor getting a job, and to speak out, because if it doesn't happen, I'll look like a fool. if I pray God and you don't move, then people might conclude that this God thing doesn't really work, and I don't want that on my head. I don't want people to draw conclusions about you because I don't know what I'm doing. Can you relate to that feeling at all? And so here's what he said. Randy, your fear about me not moving being a reflection on you or on me or on Christianity is silly. You don't know the end from the beginning like I do. You don't know each situation or a person's heart like I do, or how I've prepared them for your words. I will bring the exact right response to your prayer that's appropriate. And I call you to step out and be a fool for me. 1 Corinthians 3, don't be deceived. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he's wise, as it stands, he should become a fool. So he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Would you be a fool for Jesus Christ? Would you? I think we need to rename the church. The Fools Club. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. I just want to turn the page. Acts 4. This is kind of a core passage for our vision that God's given us. Is, you know, they prayed. If you remember, Peter was threatened to not speak in the name of Jesus Christ, and so he went back, and the church gathered together, and they prayed, and they said, "God, consider their threats and empower your servants to preach the word boldly." And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. How? Boldly. The manifestation of the filling of the Spirit equaled boldness of speech. I'm going to say some things that you might not like right now. God's Spirit wants you to speak out about God boldly. God's Spirit wants you to speak out about God boldly, regardless of you appearing foolish in doing so. Now, boldly doesn't mean arrogantly, and it doesn't mean obnoxiously. I mean, humility and love are critical. But what's more bold than love? The old adage, there's a wonderful old adage, it's not so wonderful, actually, but we've come to embrace it. Preach the word of God at all times. So preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words. Isn't that warm? Does that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? Preach the word of God. Preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words. And it sounds good, sounds spiritual, and I've said it, but I'm realizing it's not biblical. It actually gives you permission to not say anything. And yes, we need right actions, and yes, we need to be a good example, but the book of Acts is not a book about being a good example. It's a book about speaking out boldly for Jesus Christ. And the church in the U.S. is hiding behind what's called lifestyle evangelism. The president of my Bible college I went to Multnomah Bible College down in Portland, and the president of the school is Joe Aldridge, and he wrote a book called Lifestyle Evangelism. And that book was very popular, and it hit the U.S. church like a freight train. And basically it taught, and I can still remember Joe preaching in chapel, "People don't care how much you know how much you care." And that's my Joe Aldridge impression. Anyway, and what it taught the American church, that at the time was actually quite aggressive in using its mouth to speak the gospel, it taught us to sit back and try to live a good life so that people will come to you and get on their knees in front of you and say, "What's different about you? I want what you have." How many of you have had that happen to you? I've never had it happen. I've tried to live that life, but The only times I've been successful to help people find a relationship with Christ is when I open to this. They were filled with the Spirit and they spoke the Word of God boldly. I think this idea of... I think lifestyle evangelism is really fear of being thought a fool or avoiding feeling uncomfortable, masquerading as a high-end outreach approach. And if you want the ball and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you've got to get in the game. And we have the greatest news on the planet to give. We have the most loving, wonderful person in the universe. The fiercest warrior, poet, lover wants a personal relationship with you and wants to save you from every sin you've ever committed and make you, bring you into your true identity. A glorious image bearer of God. That's the message we have to offer. It's the most glorious message on the planet. We can't sit behind a fear of rejection or being thought a fool and keep our mouth shut. How to do this is coming. Okay? How to speak it out, we're going to be talking about in the future here. But stepping out is what brings the filling. It's interesting. With great power, the apostles, this is just a couple verses later, this is verse 33. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. The great power that they testified with didn't make them more articulate. It didn't make them have words that were just more, wow, that person has such an amazing gift of speaking. It didn't make them the most dynamic speakers in the world. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I am kind of a lame speaker. It made their words land in the person's heart with the enablement of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit set that person up for the conversation before you ever had it. And He'll do that with you too. He'll do that for you too. If you listen to the Spirit and step out and speak, He will have already known you were going to do that, and He will have prepared their heart, and He will have prepared the conversation, but you might not experience the power of the Holy Spirit until you jump. You want the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you've got to get in the game. There's a team that in fear and terror and desperation felt like they're supposed to go get in the game and go to Ethiopia and share with them about identity and heart and what God, how God sees them, and kind of our message that God has given us an adventure of restoration of the heart. And they went and they experienced the Holy Spirit showing up. So I want to ask those guys if they would come up and kind of tell you some of the stories that that they had happen. You have such a good memory.
Man asking, and I felt like the Lord was leading us to go to Ethiopia and bring a message of healing and restoration and identity. And so we did. This team here, we got the opportunity to go to Ethiopia, and Jonathan will tell you more specifically what we did, but at the end of the training, at the end of our experience, I asked the Lord one more question. I said, God, did we accomplish the goal that you sent us here for? Was it worth it? Was it worth all the money? And we had to spend a lot of money to get to Ethiopia. Was it worth the time leaving my two babies behind and my wife behind? Was it worth that sacrifice? Why us? Why did you send us? And I got another picture, and I got a picture of It was a map of the world, and Ethiopia was in the middle. And what I saw was the gospel expanding, leaving Ethiopia and going specifically to nations that are primarily dominated by Islam. And I felt like the Lord was saying he was building an army in Ethiopia to reach the nations of Islam with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what's so interesting is how the country of Ethiopia is set up to effectively reach that mission. I'm going to have Seth share a little bit about that.
So a year ago when Damtu, who is the national director for GCME, the Great Commission Ministry of Ethiopia, thank you, that he came over specifically through his connections of hearing through the Kobayashis about what was going on with youth ministry here. Came over and had a chance to come over to hear our stories, and we shared our stories, and he said, I want this for the youth of Ethiopia. And so I knew with the invitation, I could feel God say, go. And for me, this was my first international mission that I've ever been on. And my perspective at the time, when I said, yes, God, I'll follow you, was that I would follow you to the middle of nowhere. And I guess Ethiopia, in my mind, seemed as much like the middle of nowhere as anywhere else. What I want to share is that while on mission and having a chance to share our stories and see lives changed and people see their identity and hear God's voice for the and moving in that direction, that I got to understand a little bit more why God asked. I have a map here I want to show, which for me kind of really cleared some things up for me as when I think, believe God brought this to me. One, this first one is a map of Ethiopia, and this is of Africa. Ethiopia is in Africa. But where you see the bright orange, these are where the heavy population clusters are, and Ethiopia is right there. So one of the biggest population clusters in Africa is in Ethiopia. The second map here, this is actually showing a heat map, but by whether it's Muslim, Islam, or Christian. And here you can see these green sections. Where it's green, that is actually showing that there's 200 Muslims for every one Christian. Where you see it's dark blue down here, that means there's 200 Christians for every one Muslim. So in Africa, when you look at this, does it seem to you like there's a very clear battle line being drawn between two very separate beliefs? Right here, that's where Ethiopia is, right on the front lines, right on the battle lines. And you can see here, the white, which you see almost no white, white represents where it's about 50-50. So let me ask you, when you look at the map of Africa, how much do you see that it's 50-50? Is there this coexistence of, yes, there's, you know, 50, half of us believe in the Christian God, and then there's 50% of people who are Islam? No, there's like there's either light prevails or darkness prevails. And this is a battle line that's been drawn, and I very quickly learned that this is not the middle of nowhere. God was sending his people, his best, his resources to the front lines of where he's going to save his people. Here you can see in Ethiopia, there's this huge white strip. Right now there is a battle in Ethiopia between Christianity and between Islam. The people that we had a chance to meet, these are people that have grown up. Their parents lived under communism rule. Even GCME was mainly founded under the fact that it was building churches are hidden underneath communism rule. Their kids have always known, always had the idea that they would have to fight for what they believed in. If there was one thing I could have taken back from the people, it would be that they just knew that they would have to fight for it. The idea that they would be persecuted, that there would be, have to be tough decisions, that they would have to speak to people that completely disagreed with them, they never had any other thought that it would be different. One of the things that you can see on Ethiopia is that it is surrounded, right here there's Sudan, there's Eritrea and Somalia. Sudan, right? This is where the Darfur region is, right? If people know, in the last 10 years has been one of the biggest genocides, where over almost 500,000 non-Arabs have been ethnically cleansed in the last decade. Somalia, so routinely now there are Muslims that are crossing over into Ethiopia and burning Christian churches on the border. In Eritrea, people, Christians are regularly prosecuted or jailed for their beliefs. When I got back, I looked and said, how current is this battle? And I just typed in Google, I just typed in the name of these countries in Christian, and these were just some news headlines in the last couple of weeks. In Eritrea, a 43-year-old evangelical Christian died in prison. He was reportedly tortured for 18 months and denied treatment for malaria because he refused to renounce his faith. On February 6th, Sudan bombs a U.S.-funded Bible school. February 16th, this last Thursday, Christians in Sudan have complained of a spike in threats against them by South Sudanese militias rebelling against the new South Sudan government. The South Sudanese rebels go house to house in Khartoum, which is the capital, and other towns in the north, abducting mainly Christian men. Christian sources said hundreds of young men have been forcibly conscripted, while other men are either killed or ransomed. And on February 14th, Somalia, Islamist militants behead another Christian convert. For me, the idea that we would be sent into the middle of nowhere, and God gave me no understanding that as a commander, he doesn't send his best, his troops, to the middle of nowhere. He sends them to the front lines. And having had a chance to see what was actually there, for me, I felt at first, as I was stepping into fear, into the unknown of what's going to be, I walked back knowing that God is very intentional, right, and very specifically called us, right, an adventurous mission, what we have learned here, what God has shown us here, to send to his people there. They said that they want to be trained. They can speak the language like the people of Sudan, like the people of Eritrea, like the people of Somalia. They want to be trained because they want to be sent out.
So, what is training? What we ended up bringing, in case you're all going, what did you do over there? You didn't run a VBS. We brought material that has been in play here at Adventure through our youth program for the last year plus. What we felt like we were being called to bring to them involves something that we've observed the Holy Spirit doing over this time. He has certain principles that we see at play in ministry where we know the Holy Spirit is moving, and when we make sure that we are following him by living in those principles, we have seen his movement more clearly. So we wanted to just share with the people of Ethiopia what we've seen in hopes that something that we could tell them about what God is doing here would be useful to them as they move forward in stepping into identity, like, who am I? We have the principles that we're talking about are things we've observed, things like the principle of being at a crossroads. Are you at a place where you're willing to let God disrupt your life and tell you a new direction, something that he wants to reveal to you? Are you willing to let him disrupt you? Other principles are walking with God. What does it look like to hear God's voice? What does it look like to be in relationship with him? Other ones are community. What does it look like to have true community with other believers? Kind of woven in and out of these different things were the ideas of how does God see? And can we see the way God sees? Can we see each other? Can we see ourselves from God's perspective? Do we have access to that? And what is my unique identity? What is God pursuing me in particular? Am I being sought after by the God of the universe? These are some of the things. We also dealt with things like rites of passage, and I think we've got some kind of cool things to share about that, what ended up coming out of the rite of passage that was part of our event there. I just wanted to share with you two verses I didn't share last hour. They're from Ezekiel. You know, it's been a book we've been in and out of recently. The first part is from Ezekiel 3:10. It says, "Then he added, 'Son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. then go to the people and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. So he put that in my path long before we went, you know, maybe 2 months before we were going, and I was like, I'm going to Ethiopia, la, 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 you know, like on this blind path of, I heard it, so I'm going. And I've, all of these things, these principles, have become ingrained in how I am watching what God is doing. So that was really living out. And the other verse happens like just a couple verses later in 14. It says, then the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. I went in bitterness and turmoil, but the Lord's hold on me was strong. And then I came to a colony and was overwhelmed and sat among them for 7 days, which is exactly what we did. I felt like the period of 2 weeks before we left was just crazy, watching God put the things that he had made me to learn in myself. He said, do you really think it? Before I left, I had to really, really know on a personal level. I don't know. I think we could all say that there was some of that going on for us. But when we arrived, we were really able to bring these things from the depth of our personal experience to our brothers and sisters there. That just has to do with our content. So in case you're wondering what we were up to. Who's?
One of the things that the students wrote at the end of the training, this is what he said, but I have been careless and haven't paid any attention to the voice of God because I despise myself, saying that who am I that transforms Ethiopia and the world by giving attention my historical background, my family status, my language speaking proficiencies. But now, in this training, God converted my attitude in showing me that I am king builder, policy maker, decisive person to transform the world, snatching unsaved people away from the bondage of darkness and Satan's kingdom. This is what this training did to restore their identity.
So one of our key principles is making sure that we have an opportunity to provide a rite of passage. As we talk about a lot, when we don't have something to mark the experience or the encounter, not much changes. And so in this trip, we had a foot washing ceremony, and I think for me it was one of the highlights of my life, just having an opportunity to have spent the week telling these people that God sees you as a king, as a prince, as a queen, as significant in his kingdom, and to kneel before them and wash their feet. And just in that moment for me, there were a couple of individuals where I just felt God's presence, his hand on my shoulder, just saying, this is a king. And so I was bawling. And so then I felt like, you know, some of the women that were pouring out their tears at the feet of Jesus, and they were sharing the next morning when they had a chance to testify to what God had been doing. I heard later that some of them had felt like Jesus was washing their feet. So just Jesus was everywhere in this whole thing, and it was indescribable. But another cool moment that came from the testimony time was that the first guy who shared had told us things that God had given him a new name and given him an identity. He was Moses, and he was a spiritual doctor, bringing healing to people. And then he said, you know, God gave me something for you guys, for your team and for your church. And so, okay, what, you know, interest was piqued with that. And he was like, I feel like God was telling me that he is going to open the way. And well, that sounds cool, you know. And it's like, and he was speaking to me from a passage in Ezekiel. And as soon as he said that, I knew where it was going. But he was fumbling for the numbers in English, and it was like, and it was chapter 30, 7 and just talking about dry bones and armies being raised up, and we're all in the back of the room like freaking out because it was just awesome to it might have been, I don't know, because I'm not demonstrative at all. Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome. And so Jonathan explained to them why I was super excited, because it was obvious that God was going to use them to confirm what God's been doing here. So.
Yeah, this retreat that we ran was targeted for Great Commission Ministry, which is also Ethiopia's version of Campus Crusade. It's the same thing. And so they had pulled in student leaders from all of their southern region, and so it was like the people who are running the ministries at each university in the south region of Ethiopia, and they pulled in the top leaders from each. And so we had the opportunity to just hang out with them and to share these principles that we've seen God move through in the past year, and it was just absolutely incredible. And one moment that I really enjoyed, maybe the first full day that we were there, you know, we'd had one evening, and then, you know, the next morning we had sent them out to go and spend some time with God. We'd just talk about listening to God and how he wants to tell you amazing things. And so we'd sent them out, but this girl, she just really wanted to talk to someone, and I happened to be there. And so she comes up to me, and she is just overflowing. She said, "Oh my goodness, I did not know who I was. I didn't know who I was, but then I came here and you all helped me understand who I am, that I can know these things from God, that I have an identity, I'm uniquely made, that God wants to share these things with me, and now I can know." And she's crying and I'm crying, and oh my goodness, I was just thinking of the vision that God gave BJ that he shared with us months before this. And the Ethiopian looking in the mirror saying, "Who am I?" And she's saying, now I know who I am. And just seeing the confirmation of God showing up in the ways that he had led us already.
There are dozens and dozens and dozens of stories and testimonies of how God came through, and I would love to share, and I know this team would love to share. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I do want to end on this. God challenged us to step out and to follow a vision and to risk a lot of money, a lot of time to follow him. And when we took the leap and we got on the plane, he showed up in a big way. And I am so excited because in July, we have the opportunity to take our seniors, high school seniors, back to Ethiopia. And the mission is the same, except this time we are going to use the students that we have here that are graduating the program, that have walked through themselves, that have heard identities, that are walking with God, and they are going to bring the message to the Ethiopian high schoolers, their best, their leaders, to bring training. And when I was talking with an Ethiopian missionary there, he said this. He said, "We know how to do. We know how to bring the gospel to these different countries and to our area. We know how to reach Muslims," he said, "but what you have taught us is how to be. Please come back and train more." And I believe that God has given Adventure a unique mission. And a unique mission is we know who we are. And God is speaking to us here, and he's given us a mission to raise an army. And I'm excited to see an army built right on the front line, and God to use this church to be part of that. I'm excited that not only that, God is sending us out to the Philippines, to Nicaragua, to Albania. God is sending teams to go, and people are stepping out and freedom and courage. I'd like to just close in prayer, and then we have testimony. Randy's going to pray, actually.
No, what I want to do is we're going to bag the benevolent offering, and we're going to bag the maybe the video And instead, you know, I think we hear this kind of stuff, and you know, what happens, I think, for a lot of us is like, well, they're over, yeah, those people are over there getting beheaded, but we're way over here, right? And it's kind of like that's just some other world I hear about, you know. But in the spiritual realm, they're right next door. And what I want to do instead is, of the video and all that, is what if we rise up right now and pray for Ethiopia? Pray for those on the front lines. Pray for these people who heard their identities. And you know, those of you who've been through going out and hearing about who you are and hearing God speak tenderly to you and father you, you know what happens next. Right? The enemy comes after you like never before to take that ground back. And so, let's pray. Okay? Would you, I mean, like, rise up as one man and pray for them. So, I'll start. Lord, we come before you, and I think of the ways that they're bombing churches on the border and where Ethiopia is, and you sending us there to talk about identity and for them to find out that you're more than a salvation, a path of salvation, but you're a father who wants to love us and father us. And that you have an identity for us that's unique and real, and you that we have, it's so much better than only we get to go to heaven. Lord, as great as that is, as wonderful news that is, Lord, it's better. And Lord, they're hearing that now through those who are at this camp. Lord, protect them. Take the message that they've heard, Lord, and remind them daily, Lord, speak to them tenderly. Break the enemy's back as he tries to come against what they've heard. Lord, prevent Satan from stealing what you've given, the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, would you protect those young men and women who are in leadership in these campuses, Lord? Empower them with great power to speak boldly the truth, Lord, about your heart toward us. Lord, I think of the territorial spirits that exist over those dark green areas, and Lord, how you are invading. You're bringing your clash of kingdoms, Lord. Would you, in the spiritual realm, Lord, weaken the enemy, shut him down, Lord? Bring a heart of openness in these Muslim folks, Lord, represented in those green areas. Lord, would you soften their hearts, Lord? Would you bring your gospel message in, Lord? We know that the blood of your saints shed for your message, Lord, is precious in your sight. And Lord, we pray that you would give them boldness and that you would give them strength. And Lord, that you would empower them to go very far with this message. Mm-hmm.